Join for a word of prayer. Lord, as we come to you this day, beautiful summer, Sunday morning, we pray that we might do so by faith. That whatever notions we might have about coming to church or expressing our faith in weekly worship, that it might be real, that we might hear you speak to us in your word this day. You change our life so that we not only hear your word, but we live by that word, that we live by the faith, the gift that you give us in that word. And so open our hearts to your word for us this day. May the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be acceptable unto you, O Lord, and give glory and praise to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And that word of God for us this day is that of our gospel lesson from the gospel of Luke in the 12th chapter as we read it just a few moments ago. Well, it's kind of warm and humid, but in 128 days or so, I think I counted correctly, we're going to hear those angels in the heavens above the southern plains of Bethlehem again proclaim glory to God in the highest and what? And peace on earth among men that God has blessed. Peace to those on earth. And what a wonderful thing that is. On Christmas Eve, we join, we sing together those wonderful Christmas carols the church has decorated. And it just warms our hearts to think about that peace. That the baby that was born in Bethlehem came to usher in peace between God and man. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth among men upon whom God's favor rests. Or we think about other words of Jesus. Maybe words like John 3:16, you know, when he talks about his Father. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Boy, those are good words to hear too, aren't they? Words that we know, even as we're enemies of God and we're sinful and we're unacceptable before God, but because of what Christ has done, we're made acceptable. We are at peace. You know, the peace that we seek in the world, maybe between the United States and Iran or something like that, that's nothing compared to the peace that Jesus Christ has accomplished between a holy God and a sinful mankind. 700 years earlier, the prophet Isaiah proclaimed by God that this one, this Messiah who was to come, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the what? The Prince of Peace. I don't know what your notion of peace is. What words of Jesus? But I would be willing to bet anything that you would not think of the words of our gospel when Jesus says, I have come to bring fire on the earth. How does that make you feel? And it really isn't the kind of fire that warms your heart, is it? It's really the kind of fire that scares you to death. It's the fire of judgment, the fire of conflict. He goes on to even say, do you think I've come to bring peace on earth? How would you answer that? Yeah, I kind of thought that's what you were going to do. Did you come to bring peace on earth? And Jesus clearly answers. And he says, what? No, I tell you, I have come to bring division. Wow. Is that a gospel? Aren't gospel lessons supposed to make you feel good? Aren't gospel lessons supposed to talk about the amazing grace of God in Christ and his love and his care for people? What is this all about? And he even kind of wraps it up. He says, you know, you look at a cloud in the horizon and you say, oh, it's going to rain. Yeah, we did that yesterday. We had rain in the afternoon. We looked at the skies. We just said, it's iffy. We didn't go outside. We worshiped indoors. We could figure that out. Or he says, too, you can look at the sky. You can look at the earth and all these signs that you have, and you know what it means. How is it you can't understand this? How is it you can't understand the present age? I have not come to bring peace, but division. Some years ago, maybe you remember it too, when the United Nations, they were putting together a worldwide peacekeeping army, a force to go into Iraq and Afghanistan. And I thought, when I saw this on the news many, many nights, I thought, well, there they are with their rifles and their guns and their bombs. Boy, that sounds peaceful. is that what it means to be a peacekeeping operation? And that's the point. Jesus is saying to those around him, he is about a peacekeeping, a peace-establishing operation. Now, we also know that that peace comes at a great price. Wasn't easy for Jesus. That peace is not easy for us as well. It brings conflict and fire and division even among us, the believers in the church, at times. And so you kind of ask, thinking about that Christmas, is Jesus really the Prince of Peace? Or is he the warrior of righteousness? You know the answer to that? Yes. Yes. He's both. He's the Prince of Peace. And praise be to God, he's that mighty soldier, warrior of righteousness, who has come to do battle and establish that peace and conquer the evil one, the enemy, who would destroy us. So many people think you become a Christian and your life is easy and peaceful and joyful and everything is well. There used to be a phrase years ago called health and wealth theology. Now, you're Christians, you know. Is every day a cakewalk for you? Are there not times when you're put into conflict with the world? Maybe in your own self. Maybe the temptations of a sinful world and how you would like to behave or how you would like the world to be, and even among family members. And division occurs, and it comes because of the Word of God. It comes because of the will of God that is truth and the world that is sinful, and there's a divide between the two. Now, our world today says, well, okay, just go with the flow. Tolerate. You know, we have this thing called tolerance. In, I believe it's Los Angeles, there's a museum called the Museum of Tolerance. Well, I understand it, but tolerance seems to me to be kind of wishy-washy. We just go along with everything. Now, stay with me on this. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm not trying to draw the line and say, well, you know, we're Christians. We got the Word of God. We live by the law of God. And we know what's right. We live by what's right. And boy, the world's bad. And we can point that out and judge them. No, you can't. You cannot do that. You cannot. That's not what Jesus did. What a friend we have in Jesus. That beautiful hymn. And he receives sinners. In fact, when you and I offended him and violated his will, what did he do for us? Did he finally say, you know, enough's enough, to hell with you? No, he didn't do that. He died for us. He redeemed us and made us his own. It wasn't easy for him. He had to endure that baptism of fire that he talks about. Of course, that baptism of fire was the cross, crucifixion. He had a fire to undergo. I can't imagine Think of it. Jesus Christ, true God, true man, a real man. Human feelings, human emotions. He knew pain. He knew suffering. He knew dread. Can you imagine knowing what was coming? I have a fire to endure. How I wish it were completed. I just wish it were over. How would you like to know ahead of time? Yeah, we have people in church. Some of us have had to go through diagnoses of cancer and that, and we've had loved ones that died of cancer. How would you like to know that in the end of your life, you're going to be in excruciating pain for whatever reason, cancer, some other illness, chronic, that takes your life finally? How would you like to know that ahead of time and live with that knowledge that it's coming? Wow, that'd be tough. Jesus had to live with that as a human man. He knew what was coming, the pain, the suffering for all the sins of all people on that cross. And how he wished that baptism of fire was completed. Now we know he was faithful even to death. As the epistle writes, even to death on the cross. But yet that anguish, and we see it in the garden, when he sweats, his suffering started. Great drops of blood and anguish. Lord, Father, if there's any other way to avoid this baptism of fire, this going to the cross and die, and yet thy will be done. And so he does. That's Jesus, the warrior of righteousness, on a peace-establishing operation between God and man. Now, peace on earth? Well, yeah, of course. But not freedom from conflict and divisions and dissensions and conflict in a sinful world. Sadly, that's always going to be with us. You hear stories about people on the mission field where a member of a family is called by the Spirit of God and comes to believe in Christ and becomes a Christian. Maybe the rest of their family is involved in Spiritism or animism or Islam or whatever, something non-Christian, and their families disown them. And they have to make the choice between family and between their faith. Well, you don't have to go too far for that, do you? Because that hits home. Maybe not quite to the degree it does on the mission field. But man, does it hit home when our faith comes into conflict with our sinful lifestyles and beliefs in the world, and then this great pressure to tolerate, to become sort of wishy-washy about our faith. It's not easy for us either. And so we have to make some choices. Do we choose the ways of the world and all the sinful trends and behaviors? Do we choose to sound peaceful and loving and accepting by just accepting all kinds of lifestyles and behaviors and decisions? Or do we take a stand on our faith? Jesus says, don't be surprised at this. Can't you see the cloud? Don't you know what's coming? Like you know the rain's coming? Wouldn't that be great on our phones? I've kind of looked ahead. I'm a little concerned about the weather next Saturday night. And I'm sure hoping for good sunny weather. So I'm looking on the weather app and so forth to see what's coming. Wouldn't it be great to have an app on our phone that says, here's God's weather report. Here's what's coming. You don't need it. Well, you can put it on your phone. It's called the Bible. It's called God's Word. And it tells us what's coming. What will happen when the Son of Man comes, the only one who is able to judge, on the clouds at the end of time? What will he come to do? What, in Matthew, the end of the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus comes, what's he do? Does he gather everyone of all times and all places and hug them all and say, how wonderful, let's all go to be with one another in the kingdom of heaven? Huh. No. He brings division. Those of you who believe in me, who follow me, those who lived out that faith in ministering to others in my name, and you ministered to me, come, you who are the faithful, and join me in the kingdom of glory forever. But those of you who rejected me, who did not live that faith, who went your own ways, I don't even know you. Be gone. That's ultimate division. Do you know Jesus is not politically correct? I hate that phrase anymore. But he's not. His will is not bendable. His will is firm. Now, it may sound like I'm being judgmental. I don't mean it to be at all, because here is the challenge. I think this may be one of the most important challenges that we faced as Christians. To be true to God's will and His word, but to be open and loving, caring, to keep the lines of communication open among family members, among friends, those maybe who are kind of veering off in a different direction and say, well, you know what? I just don't think God's going to be like that. Well, who do you think you are? Go to God's Word and find out what God's like. Don't make your own assumptions. Do you think that the evil one isn't able to sway you to think the way that he wants you to think? Of course not. And honestly, we all go through it too, to varying degrees in our daily lives. We bought a few ties at Joseph Bank and a shirt last week. Got almost home and realized there's an extra tie in the bag by mistake. I like that tie. It's a nice tie. I like the one we bought, too. Now, what do you do? Do we make a special trip back, and do we say to the store clerk, hey, thanks for the gift, but I don't think it was a gift. It was a mistake. Haven't done it yet. Just haven't gotten there, but that's the plan, to go back. Now, how do you do it and not get the store clerk in trouble? I don't know. But we all have temptations to cut corners, to go our own way. And Jesus is saying, no, do you think I've come to make your life easy? I've come to bring fire and division, and you have to follow me. Now, if you do, you'll know that peace that surpasses all human understanding. You'll know that peace that when Christ comes in all of his glory to judge all people, you'll be with him, because you know the peace of a restored relationship through Jesus Christ with our Heavenly Father. And that's why we leave our relationships, the lines of communication, open among people. That's why we don't go too far. We don't judge people. But we share with them the joy and the hope of salvation through forgiveness in Jesus Christ. It's a great challenge. Not to be politically correct, but to be, call it scripturally correct, to be godly correct or Christian correct, however you want to put it, but to live out our faith and to love just as Christ loved. And who did Jesus associate with? Sinners, like you and I. And so we too need not to point fingers and be judgmental, but to share the joy and the hope of the salvation of Christ in his word with others. As we walk that tightrope, may God bless us with the power of his spirit to be able to, yeah, take a stand and preach law in our lives and gospel, to show God's word means something to us, but also his grace and his forgiveness for all people. That's not tolerance. That's called faithfulness. Let's pray. Lord, we ask today that you help us. Wasn't easy for you. You underwent a baptism of fire. It's not easy for us to follow you as well through the fire. Help us to be faithful. And maybe not tolerant, but graceful as well and share the good news of forgiveness and hope in your peacekeeping establishment on the cross and life eternal. And so bless us, we pray, and your church and the work of your church here in this place and always. Amen.